All right. Well, morning, church. Morning, internet. Good to have you here with us this morning. Hey, Lloyd, just as a reminder, we got our sound effects here so we can have I know you get to test my computer this morning, but I know you're on top of that, so we're good there. So we got, anyway, how y'all doing? Yeah? Well, today is the last round for our series, our
guide.
Good Fight, A Biblical Guide to Conflict Reconciliation. The final round, maybe some of you kind of feel like Rocky getting punched in the head for the last 15 rounds or so. And you're like, oh, thank God it's over. Okay. Okay.
They won another round.
Apparently.
Yeah,
no. But really, you know, our goal today is that we finish this series, we finish well, that you finish as an overcomer, that you feel encouraged, that you have, you know, a really good foundation and understanding of the plan, if you will. All that's left then is to go put it into practice and go do it. So, you know, whenever we you know, you preach on a series or a topic, the Lord loves to give you opportunities to put it into practice because that's what happens. So there you go. So. You know, we're going to finish up our part we talked last week, and if you're visiting with us this morning or you missed previous messages, we encourage you to go to our website and look at the past six, you know, they all kind of run together, even while they're independent of each other. So last week we talked about, what about toxic people? We're going to finish it up today and then give you, you know, fight fire with fire, you know, and that may sound like, well, doesn't that kind of go run counterculture, everything we've been talking about, but you'll see why. We just want to point out that, you know, when it comes to dealing with toxic people, first and foremost, we have to understand that we can be toxic and probably are toxic to somebody else by what we do and how we act and all those things. And whenever we deal with someone who is quote-unquote toxic, what we're really dealing with is immaturity. You know, people are doing the best they can with what they have at that time, and that is different maybe from where we are, and that's what results in conflict. So how do we respond to that? And the antidote to toxicity is God's wisdom, to allow the Lord to work in your life through His Spirit living inside you, through His Word, which you're reading and applying, and then applying that by being around other people and getting rolling up your sleeves and doing the hard work and letting Him work in you. That's how it works, okay? So that's the antidote to toxicity. We are not fighting each other. We're going to see that scripture in just a minute. We want to remind ourselves we're not fighting each other. We are fighting the devil, who is the source of all these things, and the devil only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and so we want to fight him. How do we fight fire with the right fire? That's really the question we want to ask today, right? So there you go. You're not on, Jenny. Your mic's.
I thought I was on. Am I on now?
Let's check it out. Green light.
I have a green light. Green light. All right. I'm not what? Oh, maybe. Oh, okay. Well, I might have to just hold it. Mine's if I do that. Okay, sorry. Wardrobe. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I know what I can do, but I can't do it right now. I have to clip it up there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Do you want some help there while you're talking?
Is that no, because I have to undo.
Oh, right, okay.
All right, we're wasting time. We are going to go into next week now, okay?
And this is a family-friendly service, so...
Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Why do we need people in our lives? To sharpen us, right? Iron is shaped by fire. And that intense heat happens even when rubbing against each other, rubbing and that friction. So we're calling today's message Fight Fire with Fire because the enemy is always throwing fiery darts at us. And how do you know the enemy's throwing fiery darts at you? Negative thoughts. Thoughts against other people, thoughts to do things or say things that we really shouldn't, that we know are wrong, always trying to make us feel insecure and like not enough, and that person doesn't like me, and I don't like that person, and all fiery darts, those thousands and thousands of thoughts that we have every day. So we want to fight back at the enemy with the consuming fire of the Word of God. That's a bigger fire. When we throw that word back at the enemy, then his fire is consumed. And he has to leave. He has to flee.
So, I'll read Ephesians 6 while you go.
To fix this?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Be right back. That time.
We're going to read this nice and slow. No. You've got six verses. So here we go. Ephesians 6. Let's read Ephesians 6 nice and loud with me. Here we go. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and petition, and pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. They sound familiar? Yeah, I wonder why.
All right. So there are often two kinds of people. Well, technically three. There's Jesus, who's perfect, right? And we are trying to be like him. We want to be more like him. But then there's the easy offender, and we know it. And there's the easily offended, and we know it, right? Well, I'm not offended. I'm just hurt. Same thing. Well, I don't purposely offend. I just tell it like it is, no matter who it hurts. Same thing, right? Both are self-focused. I want my way. What about me, right? Our deepest desire should be to be like Jesus, to put others first and to think of others before we speak. And how could this make this person feel? And we always want to share our thoughts and our feelings with someone with an attitude of love, thinking, I love this person, therefore I'm going to speak to them in a way that's honoring and respectful because they are a child of God just like I am. We are co-heirs of Jesus, right? Of his throne, co-heirs of heaven. So no one's better than anybody else. So we're all just trying to make it work, right? So we don't want to be easily offended, and we don't want to be an easy offender. We want to give people the benefit of the doubt and offer grace. So Proverbs 15, 1 and 2. Did anybody read Proverbs 15 this morning? It's the 15th. Good job. Okay. It says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. So when somebody's mad at us and starts screaming at us, we don't scream back, right? You learn that in the verbal judo, right? Everybody stay calm. Well, that's just going to make you more anxious, right? Right? Calm down. Make me calm down, right? So you want to get right up in that. And so when somebody is really loud, you just start talking softer so they have to bring it down to hear what you're saying, right? A gentle answer turns away wrath. Being kind back, trying to understand when someone is venting to us. But a harsh word back will just stir up anger. It'll just make it worse. And we don't want to go to bed on our anger, right? We don't want to let the sun go down on our anger. So we want to, you know, we can be mad right up until the sun goes down. No, I'm just kidding. but the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, meaning when you come back with the word of God, a wise answer, not a wise crack, right? But a wise answer, then that will calm that person's spirit, you know? And it might not happen immediately, but we want to bring God's truth. So think about what kind of people you spend time with. Who is speaking into your life right now? Who are your closest people? What are they saying to you? What kind of conversations do you get in when you're together? Is it gossip? Is it slander? Is it stupid stuff that's going on Facebook or in the news? Is it uplifting? Or do you kind of feel like, blah, when you leave because you know that you said stuff you shouldn't have said? Or are you talking with people that are really encouraging you in God and encouraging you to live the best possible life you can, and you feel pumped up when you leave? You feel really excited about getting up the next day. So who is speaking into your life? So we feel it's beneficial, and we've heard this across the board with a lot of different speakers, but inventory your relationships. Some relationships can hold you back from God's calling. They can tear you down so much that you end up not stepping into God's calling because you're afraid of disappointing that person. But we are here to serve God and to honor Him first and to please Him, not to please people or man, right? When we'd rather please that person than God, we're allowing that relationship to trump our relationship with God. Think about whether a relationship is mutually beneficial or not. Is it it is wise to establish boundaries with people and time limits with relationships that are not mutually beneficial. If you're always, I'd say always, and we're very loose with the word always, right? If it seems like you're the one constantly pouring into the relationship and constantly spending a lot of time trying to make that person be your friend or make that person, like, come along, you might be wasting your time. You can't make somebody do that. So you just have to kind of back off, right? So a toxic relationship is one in which there is no growth and, more often than not, consistent conflict and hurt. Some people call it drama, right? People say, oh, there's too much drama, right? Well, don't be the one to bring it. To stay out of conflict, the kind that's unhealthy, because conflict is good because it sharpens you, right? When you're like sharpening somebody else's sword and you're maybe rubbing and, oh, we're rubbing each other wrong, but I know we love each other, so we're going to work it out. But when there is a consistent conflict with the same person over and over and over again, you may have to withdraw from that person and just keep praying for them. Never stop praying for them. Never stop honoring and respecting them, but you may not be able to give them time because time is precious. It's valuable, right? And we can only use so much of it on friendships and relationships, and we need to be investing in the relationships that are mutually beneficial. Okay, so remember, when we're trying to stay out of conflict, the kind that's unhealthy, just remember who the enemy is and fight fire, the fire of the enemy, with the fire of God's word. Come up higher when you're offended. Our response to people should be based on the word of God that's gone into us, and now we are using the word of God that has transformed our lives as we respond to someone who's hurt us. So it doesn't always mean, well, just so you know that in the Bible it says you should not be doing this right now, and you know, start spouting off scripture, right? We want to say, hey, let's go to the word. Can we pray together? Those types of things. So
and your character.
Right. So you're not just going to spout off a bunch of scripture, but use the scripture that you've applied to your life to help you respond with maturity and the character of Christ. Remain calm, right? Guard your tongue. Proverbs 17:14 says, the beginning of strife is like letting out water, so abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. I think of like, do you ever see those videos of the swimming pools breaking, right? And it's just like, whoosh, and it's down, right? And that letting out of water. And you don't want your pool to break because you know it's going to be a mess, right? And that's the beginning of strife. As soon as we start, you know what? I'm in a bad mood today. I'm going to start picking a little fight. I'm going to really, I want to get them, right? Because I'm mad at them, right?
I'm also thinking there's wisdom here because you don't want your neighbor's pool to break.
Yes, yes. Especially when they live above you and they have a pool.
So there's wisdom in helping your neighbor to keep his pool from bursting.
Right, exactly, right?
Same applies in relationships.
Yes,
Looking out for one another and not stirring something that's going to have a backlash on yourself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, right? Or backwash. Not scripted. Sorry. Okay. So the beginning of strife is like letting out...
Can I get that water now?
Water. So abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. Some arguments are simply not worth having. Just some arguments are simply not worth having. Don't get upset over every little thing. But we all have our days, and don't we know it? We all have our days, right? So if you know that someone is trying to pick a fight, you can just say, I don't want to argue about this. I'm on your team, especially if it's a spouse, you know. I'm on your team. Let's not argue about this. And if you're having a rough day, don't be afraid to say, honey, I'm having a hard day today. 2 days ago, I was having a hard day, and it was just a lot of different things. And it was just like, I felt the enemy just firing at me, like nonstop, like a machine gun. And it was like, I just said to Cliff, I need to go for a walk. I need to pray, you know? I knew what it was because we were talking about it, right? Whatever's coming up, we usually end up experiencing. And God is faithful, and he helped us. Okay, so some arguments are not worth having. Just say, I don't want to argue about this. Sometimes people just need to vent, and then we just let it roll, right? We pack it in a box, and we put it down, and we give it to God.
And the other day when you were having that, you know, with that moment. No, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you just take the nail out of the head, we'd be okay, right? Mm-hmm. No. No, yeah. I don't think it's, no, just, that yep. sounds really hard. Yep.
Yep. Yep. And we've done it for each other, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Cliff never has a bad day. Yeah. No. We have fun with this. Okay. Are there?
Oh, man.
So think about this then. And these are really tough things to say because you're thinking, oh, my friend, if I stop spending a lot of time with them, are they going to know that they're the one that's causing me strife? Keep praying for them and keep encouraging them. Okay? So are there people causing strife between you and another person? Is there a person getting in the middle, grabbing the dog by the ears and trying to get in the middle of your situation? Proverbs 17:9 says, he who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. That's pretty huge. If you come over here, you know, hey, do you know what so-and-so said about you? I got to tell you what she said about you or what he said about you. And now you separate intimate friends. So we don't want to get in the middle like that. We want to help them come together to work it out, which we talked about weeks ago. And then Proverbs 26:20 says, I love this one, for lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. Did you ever have a situation that you think you kind of worked it through, and then a couple weeks later, somebody wants to bring it back up again, and then somebody wants to bring it back up again, and then somebody wants to bring it back up again? It's like throwing wood on the fire. Stop putting wood on that fire and let it go. Let it smolder out. Let it be done. Don't keep going back to old stuff, because going back to old stuff keeps you from enjoying this day and the future. It keeps you from today, and it keeps you from a preferred future because you're trying to do this. You're trying to fix what's back there, and you can't. It's over. It's done. You can't fix it. You just move on for it. Move on from it. So for lack of wood, the fire goes out. Where there's no whisperer, contention quiets down. So we want to set the right kind of fire in our relationships, and that is being on fire for Jesus. Be so consumed by his word. Be so consumed with love for God that you love people so much that no matter what they say or they do, they cannot steal your joy of knowing and loving Jesus. Because the only person that is in charge of your joy is you. The only person that's in charge of your attitude is you. And when you're having a bad attitude, it's on you. It's on me. When I'm having a bad attitude, I got to walk it out with God and talk it out with God, right? And then it's like, Lord, for some reason, God is always right. That was a joke. He's always right. When you talk to him, when you go to his word, he's right and he sets your heart. So set those right kind of relationships. Be on fire for Jesus. In 1 Peter 2:23, he talks about Jesus and it says, and while being reviled, while Jesus was reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously.
So you see how, like, you know, look at Proverbs, look at what Peter says here. This is all the character of Christ that is, who's he engaging with, right? We think that, to fight the enemy, I have to do something, but a lot of times the right response to fight the actual enemy is to do nothing. And that seems counterintuitive. We go, well, that doesn't make sense. But you are directing your character and your efforts towards the right person, in the right direction, okay? So, Jesus, if there was anyone who had a right to be offended and to avenge an abuse, it was Jesus, because Jesus is the only person who never did anything wrong. The rest of us are all guilty. He didn't do anything to avenge the abuse. And in fact, he chastised the disciples when they said, well, Lord, they can't talk to you like that. They didn't receive you. So should we call down fire and fire from heaven to consume them? And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of or what you're asking. So if that's the attitude Christ has, and they nailed him to a cross, how much more so can we have that attitude when we encounter infractions, abuses, offenses, those kind of things?
That's right. So remember who the enemy is, and then remember that the majority of conflict resolution is within ourselves, right? Sometimes we're just having a bad day. But a bad day does not mean stay in bed and stay away from people, right? It doesn't mean throw the covers up over your head, call in sick, whatever you got to do. No, get up. That's my mantra. Get up. Get out of bed, get into life, and let God work on your bad day. Give it to him. So we want to have our feet shod with the preparation of peace. Be prepared with the word of God to walk in peace with other people. This is a conscious effort. We have to do this every single day. This is not something that you can just, after today, and we have this message, and you go home today and you have this is a good day. I'm going to get along with everybody. Tomorrow morning's a new day, right? God's mercies are new every morning, and so are our attitudes. So every single morning, we have to set our attitudes to be like Jesus. Jesus, help me to forgive today any offense that happens to me today, no matter what somebody says. Lord, give me strength to have that difficult conversation. Thank you that you go before me and behind me and with me. And Lord, help me to be kind and loving to someone today. You got to do it every day. Get in the Proverbs, get in the Word of God. Proverbs 18:1 says, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. So when you're having a rough day, a bad day, and you go in the room and pout, right? You're separating yourself, and then you'll quarrel with anybody who tries to talk you down off the ledge. With anybody who tries to help you have a good attitude. No, well, that's not. And okay, you're quarreling against all sound wisdom. Take a nap. Sometimes that's the most spiritual thing you could ever do. Just take a nap. It's very holy. Jesus took naps, and I love to follow his example. So we're going to do that. But, you know, just rest. Get yourself to a place you could just rest in the Word of God, because sometimes you just got to get off your feet and rest, and then you feel better, okay? So inventory your relationships. So think about your relationships. Which ones are you encouraged by? Are you happy to spend time with someone and you never want it to end? Or are you relieved when that time is over? Just think about that. How do others view you? Do you bring peace and joy when you enter a room, or the other way around, right? Sometimes the atmosphere changes depending on who is in the room and who's not in the room. Did you ever notice that at work or something? When you guys have an office meeting, you could tell if one person's not there, right? Because the whole chemistry of the room kind of changes. But it doesn't mean that you don't, maybe you might miss that person and their input, but it's different, right? So what do we bring into the room? Because we all bring something. We can bring a calm, we can bring a peace, or we can bring people to, what's going to happen? Right? This person's walking in. We want to be a person that brings joy when people go, hey, I'm glad you're here, right? So everyone brings something. Allocate time accordingly then. We need healthy friendships, and we need to be with others who want to grow. You have to be with people that want to grow. Spend time with people who are more advanced than you in an area, and that will cause you to rise up to a new level of excellence in health. Those friendships prepare you for the tough encounters. So when you spend most of your time in the presence of God and in the presence of people who are calling you up higher and encouraging you to get up and encouraging you to live a life that's full and great, then when you have an encounter with someone that kind of drags you down a little bit, you're going to have that joy to be able to help pull that person up. But when you're always with people that are down and always complaining, you're just going to be like, bleh, Eeyore, right? You're going to be sad. All right, so spend time with those people. We always want to have a person who is mentoring us, a person we can mutually encourage, and one whom we're mentoring, right? We always want to be with somebody who brings us up higher, someone who's kind of on the same page as us, and then someone who we're trying to draw up higher. Some call it a Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy. Okay.
Yep.
So
okay.
Inventory your relationships.
Inventory, right. So when we're fighting fire with the right kind of fire, we understand that loving people, and I wanted you to be clear on this, right? Loving people unconditionally does not mean that you will never have to defend yourself from people who do not share that ideology. Okay, this whole series we've been talking about getting along with people, and kind of lowering yourself and getting, all that stuff, right? There is a reality here, of course, that not everyone in the world shares that viewpoint. Matthew 18, the whole conflict reconciliation principle is based upon believer to believer. If you don't have that, it's a different set of rules, okay? In Luke 22:36, Jesus said, look, if you don't have a sword, go out and buy one. There's a reason he tells you that you're going to have to defend yourself at some point. Look at the war in Israel right now, okay? And there's this all we need is love, and the world will be one happy place. No, it will not, because there are people in this world who do not subscribe to that ideology. It's what they believe in their heart and what they do what they believe. And that whole, they can coexist. We have a two-state nation. That is not going to work there, because you have a section of people who believe have a religious mandate to wipe out every Jew on the face of the planet. They are not going to coexist. And Israel knows this, and they have known it for a long time. And that's why they finally said, that's enough is enough, and we're going to wipe this out so it's no longer a threat to us. Oh, they need to show mercy. They get it, because they've been dealing with it for 2,000 years. Oh, as Christians, we just have to turn the other cheek. Look, that's a gross distortion of what Jesus said there. Right? And in the same way, we are encouraging you in this country, in your relationships, just as we have armed responders in this building for any fool who wants to come in here and try and start something. That's why we have, we live in a culture, we'll just take the guns away. And I don't want to get off on that whole thing, all right? But I think you pretty much know where I'm coming from here, okay? When you are dealing with a mindset, it does not matter the method. They will find another way. And the only way to stop that is to meet it with equal or greater force. That's what's going to happen. And that's why we're finally figuring it out to have armed responders in our church, in our schools, and everywhere we go. The Israelis have been doing it for years. The British have been doing it for years. Why? Because they got tired of their kids getting killed in schools and their planes getting blown up. In the same way, we have to sometimes vigorously defend ourselves against relationships when someone does not share the same kind of ideology that we do. And that's why we talk about inventory relationships. Understand, if there's someone that you have to pour into, okay, you pour into it, but you limit yourself so that that you're not just on, just being sucked dry. Okay, that's work. And work is not 24/7. You need relationships that are mutually beneficial, that you come away with encouraged, and so does somebody else. Okay, that's why it's all those things are set in proportion. All right, Jesus himself demonstrated this. He had compassion for the crowds, but he had circles of friends with varying access to himself. And so he had the crowds, but then he had the 12 that he invested in. He had the 3 that were intimate, and he had the 1 that he loved. And that's not happenstance or coincidence. He is showing us and telling us that you cannot be intimate friends with everybody, and nobody, and not everyone deserves that kind of access. It's given sparingly to unique friendships that you're given, and we get ourselves in trouble because we want to give that kind of access through the one to everybody, and they can't handle it. And then there's blowback, and there's all that stuff, so that's why we're encouraged. Fight fire with the right fire. Be discerning in your own relationships, all right? We're in the final, you're in the final round here, and there's all these kind of tactics that you want to try because it's not working, so I got to try something else. No, you stay the course. You stay with your battle plan. See it through to the end. Don't try and change tactics because it didn't work at first, all right? The silent treatment. I have conflict, so I'm just gonna give them the silent treatment. And listen, if you have to learn to not say something hurtful or harmful, and so you keep quiet, that's a good place to start, by not saying anything. But the silent treatment shouldn't last days or weeks or years. The goal is you keep your mouth shut so that you don't say something that you're responding from the flesh, but then you work through it through the character of the Holy Spirit, through his word, and then you say the right thing. And you do that quickly. And the more you practice that, the shorter that gap becomes, and the quicker you move through reconciliation and restoration.
That's right. Yeah, the straw carrier. Don't be a straw carrier. Remember we said a ton of straws weighs the same amount as a ton of bricks, right? So whatever you're carrying from the past, you got to let it go. Got to let it go. Don't be a straw carrier.
Right. The whole I'm fine, you're fine, everything's fine approach. You know, there's great wisdom in having discretion. We've been talking about trying to figure out, is it an actual offense or is it not? You know, and so you have, you know, so, and sometimes you have to kind of wrestle with something to go, did that really bother me or not? I don't know, you know? And after time it's still bothering, yeah, go deal with it, okay? And we don't want you to be like picking on every little thing, right? But this I'm fine, you're fine can be used as an excuse to not engage in the hard practices of going to somebody, having the face-to-face conversation and gaining understanding. So don't let that become a crutch for you, right? Don't let that become a weakness. Do the hard thing. Oh, am I supposed to do that?
Yep, an anonymous complainer.
Right? Oh, okay.
We don't want to be an anonymous.
We don't want to be an anonymous complainer. And, you know, this whole series started because we received an anonymous blue card that said we wanted a biblical guide to conflict reconciliation. And I appreciate that, you know, and it was absolutely the Lord's timing and all those things. But I will tell you that for myself and Jenny, and we're encouraging you as well, that the vast majority of time, I'm going to disregard an anonymous letter, critique,
criticism,
complaint, whatever, especially if I don't have corresponding witnesses to it. Every fact confirmed by two or three witnesses. If I have one person who wants to spout off and spout off anonymously, I'm just going to tell you this. That gets immediately discarded and disregarded. Because if you don't have the courage to come talk to me face to face, person to person, then you're not invested in the relationship, and it doesn't matter. And we're encouraging you to have the same approach. Don't get hung up and bent out of shape about anonymous things or people who want to troll you on social media. Don't even worry. Don't even give it credence. Just move on. Okay.
I just got to share one. Okay. So one time we got a letter, and I would say I'm more on the easily offended side, if you'd say, like, I'm an easy offender, easily.
And I'm an easy offender.
Easily hurt. I'm not hurt. I'm not offended. I'm just hurt, right? No. But I'm more tender, right, in my heart. But we received, a couple years ago, we received an anonymous letter from someone, we don't know who it was, that told us when we go on the telethon that we need to do How Great Thou Art the right way.
The right way was capitalized. Like.
Yeah. So my first thought was, they don't like our version of How Great Thou Art, because we pump it up, right? We make it fun. But it hurt at first, but I was like, no. Like, that I can't let that pull me down. And I think you've all experienced things like that in your life where, oh, you heard someone said, but we don't know who it was. And don't focus on those one bad things. Focus on all the good things that God has done. You know, focus on the good. So, go ahead.
Yeah, how does that go? You know, if somebody calls you a donkey, if one person calls you a donkey, you know, note it, disregard it. Two people call you a donkey, check your mirrors. If three people call you a donkey, buy a saddle. You know, that's kind of
what it is.
So,
yeah.
Multiple witnesses, right? All right, when is it time to throw in a towel? You know, when is it time to say, okay, this we've done all we can here? When the conflict involves an unbeliever, okay? If it's believer, unbeliever, there really is no excuse for not working it out. There really is not, okay? Unless you get into that whole aspect of, are they actually a believer because of what are they subscribing to, all right, or immaturity. But when you're talking with it about an actual unbeliever, in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul says, if an unbelieving husband is sanctified through his wife, unbelieving wife is sanctified through her husband. I know there's many of you, you know, one spouse, Jenny talked about it in prayer, one of you comes, the spouse does not, you know. Yet if the unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. The brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. If an unbelieving person in your relationship, partner in your relationship, decides they want to cut it off, that you're not under obligation to go chasing after them and try and make it work and draw them in. You let them go because they're not in the same place and you're not of the same mind, okay? And you're pulling in two different directions. The parable of the lost sheep, Luke 15, often gets thrown out. Yeah, but the lost sheep, we have to go get it and we got to bring the sheep back into the fold. But a sheep is a believer. If you're dealing with an unbeliever, that does not apply here, the lost sheep, okay? That the lost sheep applies to sheep, not wolves. We don't want to go chasing after to bring a wolf back into the fold. That's counterproductive. Let the wolf go. Let him move on to someplace else. All right. In Matthew 10:14, Jesus tells us, whoever does not receive you nor heed your words, as you go out of that house, you're the one leaving, or that city, shake the dust off your feet. Okay. The parable of the talents in Matthew 25 demonstrates that the Lord expects you to do the very best you can with the resources that he has given you, to use them and to use them well. He does not expect you to keep fishing in a dry hole or spreading seed on infertile ground. He says that's irresponsible, and you're actually to be held responsible for that then. He says go where you're going to get the best return for your investment and do that, and don't worry about the rest, okay? So if it's not being received, you move on, right? That's okay. Here we go. Okay. 2 Corinthians 6:14, Paul says, do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? We've said this before, we want to reiterate it here today. You cannot hold someone accountable for something that a belief system that they do not subscribe to. We cannot hold somebody else accountable to Christian beliefs if they don't have a relationship with Jesus first. That's where it starts. And I think that's where the church, the global church, has messed up so severely when it comes to all the social issues we have today, because we want to rail against the sin, and we should. We're going to talk about that in just a second here, right? But you have to bring the person to Christ first. He is the one who changes everything. It's impossible for us to change another person, change their behavior. It's impossible for that person to change their behavior without God's Spirit working within him. So get them to that place first, and then let God go to work on their behavior. So he can't hold somebody else accountable for a standard they're not believing. That applies to all relationships, in a marriage, in a friendship, in a workplace, even in the church. You can have people come in who put on appearances, but if they're not an actual believer and they decide they want to leave, then you let them leave, okay? When the conflict is at work, I know a lot of these things, you know, and I get it. I worked in a very, very rough environment for a lot of years, okay? And so when a conflict is at work, again, this is, you can't control what somebody else does. I hope you're getting that by now. I hope you figured that out by now. You can't control what somebody else does. All you can do is control yourself, your approach. John 14:7, Jesus said, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Recognize that you have a different, completely different worldview, a completely different end game in mind, and so there is going to be this separating. You know, this horse wants to pull that way, that horse wants to pull that way. That's not productive. You got to let that go. All right. 1 Corinthians 5:9-10. Paul says, I wrote to you my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not mean at all with the immoral people of this world, for then you would have to go out of the world. If you think that you're going to go through this life and never rub shoulders with sinners, you are delusional. And I understand, I know there are Christians who think that way. Oh, I just have to remove myself from all the sin in the world. Well, that's ridiculous, because then you have to go live in a cave somewhere or die. That's pretty much what it comes down to. And Jesus did not call you to be an isolationist. He called you to be salt and light in the world. And the only way you do that is you get out and you flavor and you influence somebody.
That's right. Yep.
John 17:15, Jesus prays right before he goes to the cross. He prays. He prays for his disciples. He prays for us. He says, as many as are far off, I'm praying for them. And he says, I don't ask you, Father, to take them out of the world, but I ask you to keep them from the evil one. That is our responsibility. That's our lot in life, to be in the world and not of it, to be the difference, to be the influencers, and that means doing the hard work and being around people who don't think like you do or act like you do.
That's right. And don't be afraid to share why you're different, right? When people think you're different or you're weird or, wow, you're always happy, or, wow, you always have, like, joy, or you listen to that music, and share Jesus. Tell them why. Just say, well, you know, I have problems, but I have the joy of the Lord because I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I can't imagine my life without him. Don't be afraid to say his name and let people know why you have that hope and that joy in your life.
Yep, that's why I have to know what drives you. You know, Proverbs 16:26, here's, you know, great proverb. Starting tomorrow, Monday morning, you all going to work, read Proverbs 16. A worker's appetite works for him, for his hunger urges him on. What drives you? What is your motivation in going, okay? And so we, my friend Derek and I were talking about this, and you know, and he brought up a great point. He's like, look, because Christians should be leading the charge in their whatever field you're in. You should be the best in your field. You should be the best employee at your company. You should not be the one that people looked at and say, man, they're hypocritical. You should be setting the bar for everybody else. Not just in terms of your production, what you do, but your character, the way you interact with one another. You should be employee of the month every month. Come on. That's the goal, right? Are you being an influencer or are you being influenced? What's the goal? What drives you? What motivates you? Okay. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense for everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is within you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Like Jenny just said, always be ready and don't be afraid to say Jesus, right? So in all this, we're not making an excuse for sin. All right, the Corinthian church, this is the whole reason Paul wrote to them. In 1 Corinthians 5, he says, there is sin, and it's so bad, it's reached my ears. He goes, and not only have you not corrected it, you're applauding it, and for that, you're be condemned. So we're not, in all this talk about reconciliation and restoration and going to people, we're not saying we just cover up sin and turn a blind eye to it and go, oh, that's okay. No, sin is sin, and we have an absolute responsibility to encourage one another to good works, to hold each other accountable. By coming to church, you are inviting accountability. By becoming a member, and we have membership class scheduled for this Saturday, if we have enough people to do it. So today's the last day to sign up, so if you want to do that, go ahead and do that. All right, otherwise we'll reschedule it. But when you become a member, you are actually inviting in that next level of accountability. It says, yes, I want that so that I can grow, become, and be the best representative of Christ that I can be. The more influence or responsibility that you wield as you grow in Christ, as the Holy Spirit expands your ministry, the greater the responsibility you have, the higher the standard you're held to. Paul says it over and over again to his proteges, to Timothy and to Titus. Those who serve, those who lead, have to be above reproach. So we welcome you in as you are, right where you are, because that's what Jesus did. But then there was an expectation that the Holy Spirit is going to work in your life, and you're going to grow and you're going to mature and not stay stagnant. You're going to overcome those things. Maturity has a responsibility to grow and increase in responsibility. That's what Ephesians 4:15 says. We are to grow up in all aspects into Christ, who is the head. Every area of our life, we are supposed to be getting better and more mature as we go. Matthew 2:25, again, the parable of the talents. Again, there's this idea that you are expected to replicate and grow exponentially with what God has given to you. Not sit back and wait and go, well, I'm just going to fritter it away and do nothing. That's where Jesus gets irritated and says, look, you wicked, lazy slave, depart from me, I never knew you. Hebrews 5:12, the writer says, by this time, you ought to be teachers of the law. Instead, you need the basics over and over and over again. We don't want to be in that place. You know, I'm looking out here and I see that there's dozens of people who are teachers of God's law, not only by what you say, but how you live your life. And that's the goal, always moving forward. If the relationship fails, and there are going to be times when it does, and I'm going to use that word fails simply because there's not a better word, all right? Falls apart, you have a breaking of a relationship, understand first and foremost that trust determines the degree to which you can interact, not love. You can love all you want, but if you can't trust, then that impacts what degree and what level of access. And if you're the one who has offended, you have to recognize that there are consequences for sin. Whether it was willful or ignorant, it has a ripple effect. And sometimes we do things that mess up a relationship so bad that they can't trust us. And maybe that's a growth thing in somebody else, but you can't control that, and you can't force it, and you can't change it, so you got to let them work through their process just as you are. And sometimes that means the relationship is fractured, okay, or certainly altered. The only thing you can do, stay humble, stay obedient to the Holy Spirit. You say, Lord, search my heart, work in my life, lead me in your everlasting way, remove any way of pain from me, and that's all you can do, right? Stay humble, own it. Yep, I own that part, that's who I was, that's not who I am, thanks be to God, and we're moving forward. We are known by the fruit that we consistently produce over time, verified by multiple witnesses. If you have a bad experience with somebody and you go, well, maybe it was just me, you give it enough time. If it's a lemon tree, it's going to be a lemon tree wherever it goes, and it's going to be evident, right? Our goal is we don't want to be the lemon tree. We don't want to be that one. Like Jenny said before, you know, do you make the room a better place by walking in or by walking out? Which one do you want to be? Okay, what's the goal here? right? Understand that if a relationship is broken, that it is fractured, the devil, who is the source of these things, has to pay back seven times what he stole. That's what Proverbs 6:31 tells us. So he's the one ultimately responsible for it. He's on the hook, and so he has to bring it back. And whenever God takes something away, you know, if the Lord directs it and removes something from your life, he's never one who just takes away just for the sake of taking it away. He's going to replace it not only with something equal, but something greater. You're going to get an upgrade in return. That's what our God does, because he's good all the time. He always gives good things. If the relationship fails, trust the Lord to continue to work. Philippians 1:6, my God will continue the good work that he has begun in each and every one of you. And so you trust the Lord to work in your life and in the life of the other person. You know, there's a biblical example for this, the most notable one that we haven't even really talked about till the very end here. Paul and Barnabas, you know, were partners in ministry, and they were absolutely convinced that what they wanted to do was the right thing. And it says there arose such a sharp disagreement that they had to separate. Paul went one way, Barnabas went another, and you think, wow, how is that possible? They both were convinced they were right, both filled with the Spirit of God, and yet they couldn't agree. The end result of it, enough time passes. In 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul asks for the very person who was the center of their disagreement back in Acts. He says, bring him, because he's useful to me. So God works, right? And sometimes it takes time, sometimes it takes years or decades, and it works out, and it comes back, and it's a great thing. Other times, if it doesn't, you know what? That's what we have heaven for. You trust the Holy Spirit. You say, Lord, work in my heart so that I see you face to face. And when I see you face to face, I hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. I can enter into your kingdom. That's the only thing you can control. And if the other person has that same approach, then God works it all out, and he causes it to work together for good, because for those who love him and call according to his purpose, and you can spend eternity together. And then you don't have to worry about it, because when you're there, you're not going to remember any of this stuff. You're just going to be in the light of his glory and be like, man, isn't this amazing? And we get to hang out and be friends and all that stuff forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So, in all these situations, the only thing you can control is how you approach and respond to offenses. Let's read 2 Corinthians 5, nice and loud, once again, one last time, right? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Our point from beginning to end is God reconciled us to himself through his Son. He was willing and able to do so, and he has now committed to us that same ministry, to reconcile with others and help others be reconciled to him by our example, by our word. So will you do that? He's equipped you to do it. He believes you're the right person for the job. So will you do it?
Iron sharpens iron, and when iron rubs together, it creates a spark, right? It creates heat. And I believe that to live in unity and harmony with one another, we have to have two attitudes, an attitude of gratitude and an attitude of humility. And when those two attitudes come together, there will be unity. So I can have gratitude for you, and therefore you can teach me because I appreciate you. And you can have gratitude for me, therefore you'll receive what I say, right? But humility also says, I don't have it all together, and someone else can teach me, right? So we want to be humble toward other people. We want to be grateful for them. When we are, it's very difficult to stay angry, and God will anoint that. So gratitude plus humility equals unity and harmony, not conformity. Like, well, we're all just the same type of Christians, cookie-cutter Christians walking around, and we all do. No, our differences is what makes us the body, different parts, right? And God's anointing will be on that relationship. Remember the true enemy and fight back fire with fire. The fire of his Holy Spirit, the fire of his word. He is a consuming fire, right?
Yep.
All right.
So put your armor on, swords up, right? Where's the elevator at? Right? Sword drills, got your swords up, all right? Armor on, swords up, ready to fight for the relationships the Lord has given you, entrusted you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. We want to give it a moment here, an invitation to anyone who has never before said yes to a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you would just close your eyes for a minute. If you're here this morning, you're watching by live stream, you're listening to this message, and you need to be reconciled to God. You want to know that you are in right standing with him, that your eternity, your eternal destiny is secure. You want the assurance of eternal life. If that's your desire this morning, to be reconciled to God through his son Jesus Christ, then just raise your hand and look at me. Anybody making that decision this morning? Okay. I see you. If you are willing to serve in the ministry of reconciliation, if you are ready to put your armor on, hold your sword high, and fight for the relationships that the Lord has entrusted to you, then I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. Amen. All right, if you would, then repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for reconciling me to yourself.
Thank you for reconciling me to yourself.
You laid your life down.
You laid your life down.
For me.
For me.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I receive it.
I receive it.
And now, Lord.
And now, Lord.
By your Spirit.
By your Spirit.
And by your word.
And by your word.
I will fight for the relationships you have entrusted to me.
I will fight for the relationships that you have entrusted to me.
I will hold your banner high.
I will hold your banner high.
I will fight the true enemy.
I will fight the true enemy.
The devil.
The devil.
With your word.
With your word.
And through that word.
Through that word.
I will have victory.
I will have victory.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
For what you're going to do.
For what you're going to do.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.